This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
And now.
I never once wanted to leave Carolina. Let them make you believe anything else. It was their decision. I stuck with it. And I knew that. So I asked for a trade.
Treat me right.
I'm not bitter. I don't have any hatred. I just understand that this is a business first.
Cultural change is hard.
I feel like so much on my mind right now, but I'm going to keep this shit brief.
Why am I sweating so much?
I'm at your neck.
Broadcasting from beautiful and safe Brighton, Massachusetts.
Everybody be safe tonight and tomorrow.
Be careful. Be careful.
All across the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Or streaming at WEEI.com.
And the Radio.com app.
Intercom.
This is
The Greg Hill Show.
The Greg Hill Morning Show.
What's going on, everybody?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
With your holiday fill-in hosts.
They jello for us.
Wiggy.
Goodell being Goodell, the snake that he is.
Let's go, guys.
I'm with El Presidente Dave Portnoy in this one.
This is America.
Hey, Portnoy.
One bite.
Throw him a couple birds my way. I can't stand Goodell. He's such a fraud.
Gold-plated fraud.
Joined by.
Yeah.
Nick Fitzy Stevens.
And those of us who said it was going to be time to win him with Stidham, mea culpa, my bad.
So I'm going to flip-flop.
Here we go. I did it.
Here we go.
You know what? I did it. I did it. And guess what? I am right on the bandwagon with Cam. Why?
I don't. Is that his lead?
Your lead is your home.
This is the first time I've been in a Fitzy lead. I know. I heard they go long.
And making his glorious return to mornings, the Mutt Man.
So, Wiggy, you don't think this was planned last night? You don't think the Patriots leaked this out at the same time the Cam Newton deal happened?
No.
Is
that would what mean, are we doing?
That would
honestly.
That would mean
that's tomorrow's dumbest.
No, no, no. That would
that is officially
that would mean
now.
But we've got to be role models,
right?
Oh, God,
it's time for the Greg Hill Morning Show.
And losers they are.
If I get corona, I get corona.
You're gonna get a COVID.
How many have got the Godova?
The virus.
Cover it.
Some of the morning show hosts who don't have a clue what they're talking about. They're not smart people
on sports radio.
Cheers. I'm crushing bears and watching the Pats.
From your lips to God's ears.
WEEI.
You just said it.
I don't know what I said. Day two of Cam Week. Day two of Cam Week. Day two of Hillman's vacation, Danielle's vacation. Thankfully, Curtis's vacation. Wiggy, Fitzy, and Mutt in with Ken Lair. Good morning, boys.
What's that? I said I support that entirely.
Yeah, it all works out for us. Day two of Cam Week started with re-listening to Adam Schefter on the way in. And I will give you the floor, Fitzy, because I had the same reaction you did re-listening to one Adam Schefter this morning on this show about 22 hours or so ago. He basically told us the truth. The Patriots got these two stories together to make sure their penalty was sort of hidden.
Listening to Schefter after I asked him if he thought that the timing was a bit curious that Cam Newton's story drops, and then a half an hour later, we learn of the Spygate 2 punishment. Is there any coincidence? Oh, no, it's totally coincidental. And then he talks himself over 90 seconds from that all the way around to the other side. He doesn't do a 360. He does a 180 and realizes, wait a second, you're right. I probably was used as a plant and that these stories were put out there so as to distract from one and promote the other. It's 1,000% the case.
I love how the Patriots have all this juice with the NFL to be able to get a heads up on when the suspensions come in and kind of align it all up. And then when you look at the penalty that they got from the NFL, where was the juice there?
Like, they got ridiculously overpenalized. We didn't talk a lot about it yesterday, but going back and looking at other teams have got, I mean, a third round pick for what they did is strictly for, as Schefter said to us, It was because of their past history. It wasn't because of the Bengals thing.
Under-penalized.
Stop coming. I don't want to see you in the office anymore. If I have to tell you to come inside one more time, you're going to get... But wait a second. You didn't even take my brother's iPad away. How come I have to stay inside all weekend?
But the NFL gives the Patriots the heads up so they have enough time to say, let's get Cam in here so we can, you know, hide this whole penalty story that's coming out basically on the night of the Cam Newton signing. So
it was funny. Kerr was trying to explain it with Dale and Keith yesterday, and he was basically like, they couldn't control when the story came out unless they leaked it out themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So the NFL told them, here's the penalty. I don't know when they're going to release it. And so instead of waiting for the NFL to do it, mm-hmm. they basically called their bluff. And they used the only leverage they had to sort of hide the story, which I completely, I don't think they signed Cam Newton to hide this, but they timed this thing out perfectly. Patriots 101.
Ring. Hello, Mike Reese here. Mike, we have some information for you may want to release. Let's say Sunday night. We'll give you the scoop first. Well, you got it, guys.
Bill? Chance. Oh, Bill's calling us Sunday night. What's going on?
Bill.
I know Billions is on pause right now because of the COVID. We can't watch episode 8. What the hell's going on?
And this all
happened. What happened, Axe?
And it all happened Fridays when they started like really heating it. Hey, Cam, we're going to hold off till Sunday because our punishment is coming out. So we want to make sure when we sign you that you trump the punishment.
Well, he's not even signed. That's the thing. Like, he still has to do his physical. He still has to sign the contract. So it's not official.
Make the announcement.
And they controlled the narrative and made the announcement exactly when they wanted to. They bright, shiny objected us over here so that we didn't pay attention to this. And I hate to say it, Ken, I paid attention to as many different national media outlets, worthy follows and beyond yesterday. The dialogue was not about whatever you talked about on Pittsburgh radio yesterday at 11:05. It was about Cameron Newton, Patriots quarterback, and what can they do from here.
Oh, no. I've got some audio around the country that will beg to differ, my friend.
Mm-hmm. Sure you do.
Was the first question to you on this Pittsburgh show yesterday about Cam Newton or about spice?
It actually was a question of what's a bigger story, the cheating or...
Wait, we have your answer?
I rambled, but
let's hear it.
But it was more about Cam. I must admit that interview was more about Cam than it was the cheating on that particular show.
I also did some national radio yesterday, SB Nation Radio, where again the Eitan Shander, our guy, I'll be appearing with Alex Reamer tonight on CBS Sports Radio as well. And I can direct message me anytime. I'll go on your radio show or podcast. But the story is still Cam Newton. It was the biggest story in sports yesterday. I mean, you guys were just popping around listening to this station, watching the national stuff again. Amazingly, the Patriots are the biggest story in sports, not even close.
They're the biggest franchise. You talk about they've had the most success. You know, we see with Tom Brady. And then you bring a guy in like Cam Newton, who is such a kind of polarizing figure, on the field, off the field, in the MVP. So, and you add him to a team that we didn't really know where this team was going when they lost Brady. I don't even want to say you replace Brady. You replace Cam Newton with Brady, but you bring him in. I mean, that's all anybody's going to talk about.
The NFL has to be so glad, so grateful that the Patriots brought in Cam Newton, because while you've made Tampa a bigger team, it still is the size market that it is. But the Patriots have national and international recognition and such a massive fan base and an even larger hater base at this point that to make sure that you keep the bad guy relevant is perfect heading into the uncertainty of the 2020 season, which I think they're going to play, but there may be some people in this room that don't think that they're going
to
play.
Oh, we should start there, Ken. You want to get to the lead here?
This is
Ken, before we get to the sponsor of the lead and or yours, can I just put this question out there? Is this the best song from the worst movie ever?
You're asking the wrong guy.
Yeah, I don't know
what this song
is.
I don't know what movie this is.
You
have three people staring at you right now.
Schwarzenegger movie? What movie?
No, this is Who Made Who from Maximum Overdrive.
Overdrive?
Yes, Who Made Who is the theme song by AC/DC, who did the majority of the soundtrack for Stephen King's Maximum Overdrive, which is the biggest POS you will ever see in your
life. Maximum Overdrive.
Oh, it's so bad.
I don't think that's one of the Dale and Keith movie club yet.
The cars come to life and they battle people on Earth. Oh, it's the worst movie
I've
ever.
I've not even heard of that.
You
movie.
Didn't know that,
Quit
Ken?
Quit stepping on my lead. Now,
all right, fine.
Who Made Who is in reference to?
Is that what it was? I was 6 years old.
Wow. Only on WEEI where knowledge, where you're punished for knowing things.
I've never heard of the movie. Sorry, I've never heard of the movie. Right. Wiggy's a movie aficionado. Yeah, he never heard of it.
Yeah, I never watched it.
Fitzy went to the back of the
Bridget hasn't heard of either. Says one person out of five who heard of the movie. That says more about you than us.
Fitzy went to Blockbuster and went to the back of the damn store on the bottom of the damn...
Back of the Blockbuster that I used to go to had different movies in the back, Wiggy.
Who Made Who is in reference to, of course, Brady versus Belichick. Here's the dumbest of the day, at FitzyGFY last night on Twitter. I have no interest in comparing Tom Brady to Cam Newton. Everybody has interest in comparing Tom Brady to Cam Newton. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, Fitzy, if Cam Newton, like Michael Lombardi predicts, can or will take the Patriots to an AFC championship, beat the Chiefs this year, I will flip from it was Brady to it was Belichick. This season makes that much of a difference. If they can win with Cam, if if Bill wins with Cam, my needle goes from it was more Brady to it's more Belichick. That's what's at stake this year.
Yeah, and Ken, I would say that you would have a lot of people that would then agree with you. If he can win with Cam and he could get to a Super Bowl with Cam Newton, I mean...
With this
can I add something in here? What if Brady on the other side is taking his team to a Super Bowl in Tampa?
Well, they're going
to... First-runner Bruce Arians.
But you know what they're going to say?
But
Ken's right. They're going to go look at the supporting cast that Cam Newton has and look at the supporting cast that Tom Brady has.
Which is why he jumped ship.
But he's doing it with Bruce Arians and not Bill Belichick.
But Brady wasn't able to get to the Super Bowl with those same players, and Bill was able to get Cam there. And I think that's the thing that you're going to look at, because when you look at the supporting cast down in Tampa for Tom Brady, I mean, it's spectacular.
Awesome.
When you look at Cam's, you're like, oof, he got some issues.
So sorry, Fitzman, better start getting ready to compare. Compare Brady and Newton.
Mm-hmm. All right, if you want to do that, Ken. But I'm super excited that I thought of a tweet I put out at 10 o'clock at night. I was like, let's see if Ken takes the bait. And you did. Thank you.
Well, meanwhile, they're more alike than you think. I was just reading this morning. July 13th, there is a podcast series coming out about Cam Newton on Bill Simmons' The Ringer called The Cam Confidentials, a 6-episode podcast series on the career of Cam Newton. He has this big YouTube I want to get to later on this hour. He does a lot of the same stuff that Brady does. He puts himself out there. He's got things to say. I guess they're both Under Armour quarterbacks. And if you were sick of Brady being sort of front and center, get ready. Cam Newton's going to be the same type of quarterback for this team.
And Bill Simmons used to be known as the Boston sports guy, huge Patriots fan. Do you think the timing and the coordination of all these things, like of all the networks that Cam Newton...
Well, there is some cancel culture coming for
Simmons.
For Simmons.
Big
New York Times went after him.
Is there this cancel culture?
Not diverse enough.
Isn't there cancel culture trying to get Portnoy as well? I saw him on
Portnoy. He had to make a big announcement yesterday.
Wow, everybody's coming cancel culture. Man.
They're coming for all of us at some point.
Wiggy, it's just going to be you and Ken that's left.
Yeah,
eventually in the end, it's just going to be the two of you and Mark.
Well, if they kind of come to cancel you, I think, isn't that a good thing? Like, right?
I don't think so.
I mean, you're doing something.
I think it's a good thing.
That mean you're moving the needle?
No. A lot of times cancel culture goes after something you said like 8 or 10 years ago that is not relevant. That's not moving the needle.
We all said
that is people trying to tear other people down. That's what I'm saying. And we all did something like this, and people now make it their lives to go back and find it and ruin someone's life over it.
Jimmy Kimmel maybe ultimately acts as the host of the late night program on ABC for a bit he did 23 years ago.
Was that the blackface bit?
I don't even think it's that. I think it's just the entirety of the Man Show. I don't know if
Carl Malone. Yeah, he did the Carl Malone.
Carl Malone. Yeah. Everyone, Jimmy Fallon had to apologize. He's on the ropes. Like everyone who touched anything, they pulled a bunch of episodes of 30 Rock and other TV shows off, like Peacock and other streaming services. Because
I think you should have been a little aware. Like blackface was never good.
No. I'm with you on that. One thing I've avoided. One thing I've kind of avoided.
There are a lot of things that you could say. And you're like, you got cancel. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily cancel him for that. I mean, clearly he, you know, back then he was probably thinking he wasn't thinking in his right mind, but. Come on, bro. It's like just some things you know you can't do.
All right, who's next? Who goes next here?
Is it me?
Fitzy,
I forget
already?
The order.
Fitzy.
No, I'll go. That's fine.
Yeah.
Yesterday, obviously, it was nothing but a stream of positivity.
Let me
get a pillow here. Let me settle in here.
Old news, both of you.
Stop the clock now.
Yesterday, nothing but positive news with Cam Newton signing with the Patriots. But, of course, the bell curve had to inevitably swing back the other direction. Thus began the Cowherds and the Shines. Cam Newton's not going to do that much. It's still the Buffalo Bills division to win. And a bunch of other people, one of which we'll have on the show at 8:30 today, Sam Monson, who tweeted out that this is the worst supporting cast that Cam Newton has. The Patriots have the worst skill position players, and they're not a match for Cam Newton's abilities. So I'm very curious to hear exactly why he thinks that it's going to be such a bad fit. And, of course, it wasn't the They're Jealous of Us or the Hater Nation that came out. It was more people who truly believe that this is not a great match between Belichick and Cam Newton. So
we'll see. I don't know if they're the worst, but, I mean, when you look at their supporting cast besides Julian Edelman and James White, what do you really got?
I'm putting money on Sanu having a bounce back season.
He did nothing last year. He was a major letdown.
When there's nothing?
Think of the guys he played with. Steve Smith, Greg Olsen. We did this yesterday. Jonathan Stewart, D'Angelo Williams, McCaffrey. He played with a lot of really good, talented offensive players. And maybe Munson will do what Ross Tucker did. Ross thinks that just the way Cam Newton plays is deep balls and dig routes, receivers who can run those. He didn't think the Patriots have those type of guys who can run
those type of
deep intermediate dig routes.
I don't know if they
Sorry to go all Andy Gresh football.
Yeah, I don't know if they have that guy. I don't know if they have that
guy.
But they have Julian Edelman inside. All right, my lead is it's simple. I don't even know. It won't matter who's Cam supporting cast is because I said there was a 0% chance that they would play sports this year.
Well, first you said 100%.
Yeah, I went 100.
Last week with Dale and I, you went back to 0.
Yeah, so a lot of awakened 180s
We get it. You're working with the sponsor.
I don't know where we're at. Fitz, you got to
You like
give
that paper
credit.
I know, yeah.
No, it's not a pay. I like the diet. I like losing the weight. But I went to 0%. Now I'm wondering, is there anything that you could do that could be below zero? Because there's no way that there's going to be any sports. You've seen it in baseball.
What?
Listen, you've seen it in baseball. Ken, this is your sport. I don't know if we have the sound from, who was it, Buster Only?
Buster, yeah.
He was basically like, can we play that sound? Do we have it, Ken?
How confident are you that this season gets finished?
0%. Absolutely 0% based on what I'm hearing.
Oh, wow. And that's, you know, baseball insider at their best. I believe it was you who sent a text message in our group text about the New Jersey restaurants are shutting down. All these places are now starting to relock stuff down.
California just closed bars and indoor seating last night. Arizona put
a pause on their athletes coming back to school.
Dunsky.
You've seen a couple basketball. DeAndre Jordan isn't going to be playing. He said he's not playing because he's tested positive. Spencer Dunwoody, I believe, he tested positive. The Red Sox are Wednesday. They're going to have all their players test. I'm telling you. Man, the way that everybody's looking at things now with this second surge or second spike, there's no way I could see sports coming back. Was that zero? Is it less than zero? Would that be in the negatives?
Yes. Yeah, that would be negative percent. Yeah.
Well, so
less than zero is negative.
I would say negative infinity, they come back.
The negative infinity war has been launched by the Boston Sports Radio Thanos.
Do you guys really see them playing sports?
Starting? Finishing, I'm not as confident.
How long do they go? 3 weeks?
I think the NFL is going to make it the entire year.
Oh, okay. With a break.
I think the NFL will find a way, and Goodell will fight through.
What do you mean?
The entire year?
That they're either going to start the season late, or they will try to start on time.
When's late?
There's a contingency plan that they start 4 weeks late.
So in October.
Yes.
Isn't that what Dr. Fauci said? That's the heart of the second surge. So they're going to be starting in the
rather the confluence of COVID-19 and flu season beginning, which could be a mess. Or they start on time. They have a bunch of positives. They take a break in the season, which we've discussed and could be part of their contingency plans. And they finish the season end of February, early March. I mean, the Super Bowl's in Tampa. Still pretty nice in Tampa.
So the Ivy League teams are talking about playing football in April.
So they take a month off. Like, through after what, week six?
Well, like they're doing right now in the NBA. All the other sports stopped, and they're going to
reset. Yeah, it's a four-month break. The NFL may have to take
it. I don't think you could do that with football. So what do these guys do? They just shut it down? They don't work out? They don't train? They don't practice?
What do we just do with the NBA?
Yeah, but the
NHL.
It's going to be incumbent upon them.
The NBA took a few months off, and they're basically restarting their season, right? Mm-hmm. And they're only restarting the playoffs, so it could technically work out. If you go six games and then you stop for a month, and then you tell these guys to come back and then finish the season, I mean, is there then another month to get them prepared? So you go on a month off and then a month of another training camp?
What you'd have to probably do is you'd take a hard 2 weeks off.
Have you ever played professional football?
I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about either you work around the virus and the complications that it presents, Or you just cancel the season and you say, everyone enjoy the 4 to 6 weeks we have.
There's no way you could do a month off in football. Because you would need a month off.
You have bye weeks.
Shouldn't you want to try, Wiggy? Like, a bye week?
So you do a double bye week and then you give everyone a week to come back after you just tell everyone to go home.
So you're only taking 2 weeks off.
No, you take 2 weeks and then you have people who gradually come back in, get back up to speed at camp, and then you start the games
again. So you'll only be a 2 week off period.
But it's a month off from games.
Right, but you'll be back in 2 weeks to start training.
2 to 3 weeks to have a week to 10 days to get back up to training speed.
We'll do more of this next hour because Ian Desmond is the big guy yesterday. Not only he's taking baseball off because the coronavirus, but he went after the sport for race and what's going on there. So there are a whole lot of guys who decided yesterday not to play sports. Mine is still tied into Cam Newton, and I want to put the entire group on notice. Volan, Curran, Bedard, Hannibal, Hart, McBride, Perry, else? Mike Reese, the entire lot of them, get to work. I mean, this is insane that we are now 24, 48 hours after Cam Newton signed, and there's like no timeline of how this happened. There's no breakdown of when the Patriots decided we want Cam Newton. There's no decision of, okay, this is when we decided Jarrett Stidham wasn't the guy. There's no explanation as to if they wanted Cam Newton, why they didn't do this 6 weeks ago so Cam Newton could be practicing with his teammates instead of waiting till June 28th. This makes no sense. And the fact that we have no news on how we got to this point where on June 28th they signed the former MVP is a letdown by the Patriots media cartel. They spoon-fed us for months how good Stidham was, and they mocked. I love Curran, but he mocked the idea of Cam Newton two or three times on our show and other shows. Mm. And a lot of guys did because they were hearing from the team they weren't going to sign Cam Newton. So what changed? What changed? How do we get to this point? The idea it's Tuesday morning, it's 6:20, and we don't know that yet, is a failure by the Patriots media cartel.
The price came down. That's it.
Yeah, but I think that's part of it, and I think they always had their eyes on Cam, and I think there was always discussions there with Cam Newton from Jump Street, and
so we heard nothing about it and got roundly mocked by this group for months?
Did you say JT the Brick had like a little April, right?
Yeah.
So they've probably been on the Cam Newton train since then and just like, well, hey, we like him. You know, there could be some opportunity here, but he's just too expensive for us, his agent. And then the price tag comes down.
And it just came down to, I'll even back off the idea that this wasn't about their lack of faith in Stidham during the virtual offseason and how that's affected
him.
Don't
back off of that because you don't sign Cam Newton unless you are lacking faith in the guy.
No, meaning like that there's a lack of faith therein, but in terms of why they ultimately felt the need to bring him in, it was as simple as Belichick cannot just resist that value.
No, I agree with Mutt. There's no way you bring in Cam Newton because there are tons of other quarterbacks out there that you could bring in to compete for a backup role against Brian Hoyer. But if you really believe Stidham's your guy, you don't bring in Cam Newton.
Yeah, you're like, we love Cam. He was great against us. He'd be 2-0 against us, had amazing numbers, but we got our guy. They had their guy. Cam Newton wouldn't be the guy. So what happened?
Curran says the money was right. That's the party line.
At that position,
you're right, though,
no, I don't believe it.
Are they all being fed? I mean, are the Patriots just like running this town, running their own media, running the NFL? I mean, like how powerful are the Stacey James?
They're like the Illuminati.
They are at this point now. Honest to God. The Foxborough Illuminati, they run the show.
And go back. They were telling us, the only guy I give credit to nationally was Mike Lombardi. Mike Lombardi kept saying it in the midst
of... Yeah, I heard him say it.
It wasn't going to make sense. He kept talking about Cam Newton, on his podcast, OMF didn't matter. Mm-hmm. He didn't stop. But no one around here locally gave it a shot at all. Meanwhile, Cam Newton went to social media. He promised content yesterday. He gave us content. I need help from you, Wiggy.
All right.
He says something at the end. I don't know what it means.
Okay.
You've told me before, you speak street. I can't speak what he is. I don't know what he's saying here. You got to explain it to me. Is that possible?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I haven't heard it, but I'll listen to it and break it down for you.
Good. Is this a new segment called "Oh Stewardess, I Speak Jive"?
I don't know if you could say jive.
He's helped us out
like
before.
1975.
I don't know. I grew up in the suburbs. I don't know what's going on here. Wiggy does.
Is Marvin Gaye going to walk through here?
I don't think it's Marvin Gaye. I'm not sure that.
Well, Fitzy's reference to jive. I think it's like 1975.
It's a line from Airplane. My God, if I can't quote anything,
exactly. You can't stop quoting movies from the early 70s.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not going to quote.
Maximum Overdrive.
What do you want me to do? Start quoting a bunch of movies? You want me to quote like Pitch Perfect 3?
No, at least go to like the early 90s with Boys in the Hood or something. I mean, back to the early 70s.
Oh, we'll get to Cam Newton and his content yesterday.
So, brother, jive turkey. You speak job.
After a trending Luke Kenlayer.
Culture's right.
Drive home with OMF, weekday afternoons 2 to 6. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
During Subaru Summer, retailers are making it easy for you to shop online from wherever you are. Begin at SubaruofNewEngland.com. Yeah, Cam Newton, by the way, TMZ caught him touching down in Los Angeles for some reason.
Uh-oh.
He has a home there, or what's going on
there? I don't
know.
Isn't that like a hot spot right now?
I know, yeah, it is. You're right about that.
Not to New England?
No, L.A. And he was looking for a ride. He wanted no part of the TMZ question and answer. He just didn't respond. But
he's going to have to quarantine for 2 weeks when he gets back.
I know. You're right.
Sorry, I missed the opening training camp, Coach. I went to L.A.
Yeah.
Couldn't do it.
I had a big podcast. Probably something for The Ringer.
Your Governor Parker said
that's a good point. The Simmons office is in L.A., so that probably could be wrapping up. Maybe he's recording a cold open or a quick intro with Bill.
Oh, a cold open.
You can't do that on Zoom. Maybe he's out there. I don't know why he's in L.A.
He's signing with
the Chargers. He's signing with the Chargers. He's at a Maximum Overdrive reunion screening.
Hey, the deal's not signed yet.
Listen, he better hurry up and get back here because he knows 2 weeks is already gone from his quarantine.
Maybe that's where Sanu is in Nikhil. I don't know. Maybe they're in L.A.
I thought they were in Texas.
Yeah, I thought Sanu was with Cam Newton recently. Throwing balls around.
Could be.
Tom Brady's reaction to the signing was an at Under Armour QBs 100-100 on Instagram. It's kind of a weak... those guys, I guess, originally were with Under Armour together or something like that in the early
decades. Is Cam still with
Cam's still with Under
Armour. Brady loves Under Armour.
Brady's still with Under Armour.
He loves those guys. He's friends with the owner.
On Brady's, and he has stock in the company, and they're not doing well because they tried to get that $300 million back from UCLA. Yeah. Do you see Brady? Brady is such an Under Armour guy, Ken. On his social media, he had somebody use like the magic marker filter and like drew over the Nike, the swooshes on his practice gear. That's how Under Armour he is.
Remember Jordan did that at the Olympics in the last dance?
He wouldn't show the American flag
right over the Reebok thing. Yeah.
Getting that money, man.
You guys mentioned a lot of the opt-outs, a couple in the NBA. Baseball with a flood, or four is a flood, plus Minnesota told two of their older coaches they're not going to be in the clubhouse due to health concerns.
No sports, kid. See you later. Man.
Ron Renicki, though, Renicki's 63. He says he feels young. No problem.
Yeah, but he was a little hesitant when he said, I'm not sure if I can do this coronavirus thing, but I'll do my best.
Mutt nailed it. The MLB schedule release is going to happen in about a week, according to Bob Nightingale. So
you'll get it before that, trust me. I think Bradford saw the same people I'm talking to. Bradford leaked out they're going to open at home, the Red Sox are. Because they will be playing Wiggy, at least to start.
Very nice. Okay.
Don't crap on the season yet.
Are you here, Bust Owen?
I did. He also said there's like a 5%
chance.
Or
5% chance that they play. No, that they play zero that they finish.
God, you and Buster, negative.
I'm listening to, isn't he like one of the top baseball insiders?
Yeah, he is. First workouts are Friday of this week, though. Bruins are bringing 5 goalies and 30 players to the Brighton restart at Warrior Ice. That'll be
there's
by
no way
July
hockey
10th.
Starts. I mean, do they even have the
lock? Hockey's the hardest one.
Do they even have a location yet?
The equipment is always dirty. It's always sweat. You're right on top of each other on the bench.
What's local?
But they wear PPE on the ice.
Yeah, but where are their hub cities? They haven't even, like, have
coaches don't.
They haven't any announced
it
any hub cities.
It would be nice to know where they're playing.
Right. There's no way they're playing. Where are the hub cities? We don't know about the hub cities. No hurry.
Boston now. Isn't Boston good?
Isn't it a month away from when the season's supposed to start on the 30th?
Yeah.
And you don't know what hub cities you're in?
What the difference does that make?
I think
you announce it today or tomorrow, you're fine.
Okay.
It's coming.
I'm right.
Patience.
I'll be patient.
It's the Greg Hill Morning Show with the Mutt Man, Wiggy, and Fitzy.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Let's get back.
More of the Greg Hill Show, WEEI.
I have no idea what's the next steps, but one thing about it, and with God's grace, I know that there will be a next step. So, I just wanted to make this video, let you guys know, don't believe in hype. You know what I'm saying? I never once, I say this right now, I never once wanted to leave Carolina. Don't let them believe. Don't let them make you believe anything else. It was their decision. I stuck with it. And I knew that, so I asked for a trade. Everything else, that's BS.
That was Cam doing yesterday. He promised content. He gave it to you. About a 5.5 minute video on YouTube last night. It's the Greg Hill Show. Wiggy, Fitzy, and Mutt in. Ken Laird hanging out as well. And it was sort of split up. The first half of the video was about a minute monologue of Cam. He's walking on the treadmill. I think the speed was incline on 8 for an hour, which is pretty tough to do.
Killing it.
That's Hillman's workout.
That's point good. 8.
So he did that, and then they showed some highlights, and it was mostly about Carolina, and we talked to, it was a Joe Person yesterday at The Athletic, where I guess he knew, way back when Matt Rhule got hired, he was going to be odd man out, and he talks about that. Doesn't seem to have a lot of animosity towards Carolina. Just wanted to tell the fans yesterday, Ken, it was not his choice.
Doesn't have animosity?
I don't think so, no.
Are you kidding?
I thought he handled it pretty well.
Oh, I mean, I think he is driven. He is pissed off. He didn't want to say it. He took the high road, but he is highly motivated.
Well, I think he's motivated to prove that they did something, that they made the wrong choice, but I don't think he's mad at people at Carolina. He's mad at his situation that he had no place to play and he got replaced by Teddy Bridgewater, which is understandable given what he meant to Carolina there. Then at the back half of the video, it sort of transitions. He does the goodbye to Carolina, and then there's a big rehab montage where he's getting his foot worked on and the surgery, and it's just... it's very aggressive. And then at the end, I think this was taken the last couple of days. He looks different in this part. And I guess it's his message now to New England fans, or I don't quite understand. I need some help. Go ahead, Ken.
Ooh, what a feeling. There's so much on my mind right now. But I'm going to keep this shit brief. I'm at your neck.
Boom, it breaks in and it gets a good ending there. It's like Patriots, State, and everything else. So I don't know if that's anger there at the end. I don't know what at your neck means.
That's like what Ken just said. That's his redemption tool, right? So when he says, I'm at your neck, that means, I'm going to be here and you're going to see me this year. And I'm going to go out there and be balling and be in your face and oh, man, this dude is right here. He never went anywhere. And I think that's what Cam's trying to say is, I do feel like he's looking at Carolina man, I can't believe you let me go. Now I'm about to show you what you passing up.
That was the message to Carolina.
The song in there is Kanye's Blood on the Leaves, which is I think it's a breakup song of some kind.
So you know he's got animosity, and this is him basically going out there and showing the rest of the league, showing Carolina, you made a mistake. Cam Newton ain't going nowhere.
So that message at the end was not for Pats fans.
No,
Carolina.
No, Pats
you
fans should hear that and be okay. All right, Cam, we're excited.
Hence why last night, Riggs, on social media, it was a steady stream of
get
just Pats fans.
Get Cam.
OFG. My favorite is now watching all these different Pats fans find the Cam Newton serial killer font that he uses, the encrypted message font, and now they're all typing, let's go or welcome to Patriots Nation in that font, which, by the way, has to go. The Cam Newton font on social
media—it's
not
going anywhere.
It's got to go.
No. I think he said recently it's not going anywhere.
Oh, great.
So we're going to read through that.
Yeah,
every time he does post,
it looks like Sanskrit.
But I took it as motivation, not like anger, but sort of a motivation. You guys take that as he's mad at Carolina for the way it ended.
I think he's mad at Carolina. He's mad at the rest of the league. Because he feels like he should be worth more than what he got.
That's why I'm on the ladder than Carolina.
Because which means he spends the first couple minutes doing that, the treadmill workout that
power
would kill the rest of us. He's up. He's mall walking uphill and sweating, and it's all love, Carolina. I appreciate it.
I think he loves the Carolina fans.
He even thanks the new owner. He thanks the new coach, Matt Rhule, and all that jazz, right? So he's putting all the right messages out there at first. I think this message is to the other 30 teams. All of you who passed up a chance to take me at value, at my price, on the cheap, I'm going to show you guys what I was worth, and that's why you then cut to the Flying Elvis, welcome to Patriots Nation. So he's psyched for the Pats. This isn't a Pat-centric message. This is a screw the rest of you guys. I'm coming for you.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like there. I don't know why he's going to L.A. I thought that flight was, you know, find
well,
a way
said
to make
the Ben
East
Simmons
here.
Thing. That's probably why he's doing
maybe
that,
he's
right?
doing something with Bill Simmons. Yeah,
I
maybe.
I thought he might be on his way here. Maybe get the signed, sealed, delivered. Can you not do that technically yet? I guess you have to wait.
You can e-sign a document.
When are the facilities open? Are they open yet?
I know training camp opens July 28th, but
which the NFL said yesterday officially will be opening on time.
But the facilities, like, I know, aren't the coaches able to go back to the offices? Are players allowed back in the building yet, or is that are we not there in that phase
yet? The Patriots personally decided not to reopen until training camp.
But, I mean, just generally throughout the NFL, are they, like, in that phase of players can go back to the facilities and work out?
Depending on the city, yeah.
And, Mutt, with you saying earlier that the Pat's media cartel didn't do a good enough job getting us information as to really when the timeline of contacting Cam Newton all the way to signing him on June 28th or making it a fit, announcing they're signing him on June 28th.
Leaking.
Leaking. Excuse me. Right. Coincidental timing.
Yeah, crazy.
Yes, Mr. Schefter. I would also like to know, so if the Patriots aren't back in the building, who's meeting up? Like, what is the plan like with Belichick and McDaniels? Well, we'll never hear, but could somebody get us a little bit of scoopage as to, like, how are they meeting? How much time are they spending on Zoom, FaceTiming every day? Because we're all left to operate in this bubble.
Yeah, but what do they really have to meet about? They don't have to meet about
a ton.
Anything.
They have to, like,
well, they're rebuilding an offense, man. That's the biggest problem.
No, but I don't think Bill needs to be all, hey, you know, Josh, let's, you know, meet every day for an hour and a half and show me what kind of offensive game plan you got, offensive structure. I think you're kind of like overblowing rebuilding offense. Like, I don't think anything's going to change as far as the offense. I think they'll just.
What?
They'll build it around Cam and what fits his ability.
Well, it was going to. Hold on.
You make it sound like that.
It's going to be a completely different offense than what Tom Brady ran here.
Yeah, that, yes.
Completely
it'll
different.
It'll be completely different.
That's what I just said.
In the sense of.
So what are we calling that? A reconfiguration?
No.
A tinkering?
It's the same offense.
Right.
But it's just we change basically because of the person in it. We're not changing the terminology. We're not changing the protection calls. We're not, you know, doing a lot of that stuff. We are just, we're going to put Cam in an offense that we're molding to his skill set. With Brady, our offense did something different. But we're not, the terminology is going to, the way Cam Newton calls the play is going to be the same way Tom Brady called the play.
So I understand that. So the terminology is not changing. But the
so you're not really.
How different is the playbook, though?
The playbook is probably the same. It's just you're
the same as Brady to Stidham and Newton?
You're adding things in there. You're adding specific things in there that might. So maybe, because guess what? In your playbook, you probably have a RPO section that you never use. You probably have a move the pocket section that you never use. And now that's all you're doing. You're adding these elements in there.
So this is what. So here's the comp I would make to it. Like, so the menu is basically the same. It's just that, like, Mutt, if you come in, you're a vegetarian or you only eat fish, you're not ordering from the steak section. You like that the stuff has always been there.
Yeah.
But it's just that they're going to utilize that section of the playbook, which has always been there, but they never used to be able to access it with Brady.
Right.
I still say it's not a gut renovation. It's not a full rebuild, but there's going to have to be some tinkering or some tweaking to the playbook.
Yeah, but it'll be like, hey, guys, you know when we ran this play with Brady? Here's what we're doing with Cam. We're running a specific play, but we're just adding an RPO off of it.
He's got to have a couple plays that he loves. Like, you don't ever see, there was never a straight draw up the middle, and Cam Newton is fantastic. I mean, second most rushing touchdowns in the 2010s.
Yeah, they had a draw, and they who they give the ball to? James White. So now you'd go, hey,
Cam, you take it.
Yeah, we're going, rather than going whatever it is, you know, 35 draw, they're going to go, all right, QB draw. The same play will be called, but it'll just be QB draw. The blocking scheme will be the same way they blocked it up when he was giving it to the running back. You ever see that little counter play where they give it to James White and they pull the backside guard and he kicks out? They'll do the same thing. It'll be with the quarterback. So it'll be the same play call, but rather than them say, you know, 35 counter, they'll just say, you know, whatever it is, QB counter.
They have two quarterbacks now in Stidham and Cam Newton that both operate probably, I'll say, better than Brady did outside the pocket.
Yeah, so how many you'll of those, see more. How, you'll see more like bootlegs.
But that's what I mean. That's a complete change from what they did with Brady.
But they had bootlegs in their offense,
but they didn't run them.
Brady used to run bootlegs when I was there.
Okay, how long ago
but
was that?
But it wasn't many, but they're how still
recently,
in the offense.
How many times are they doing bootlegs right, right now to move them outside the pocket and make plays?
When they give you a playbook, they give you everything. There's a bootleg section that you have to learn.
Full diner menu. We're talking like an 8-page diner
just
menu.
They'll never
where
run
you get
it.
Pizza and like
can I get the borscht and the eggs benedict? The whole fish and the pizza.
They might never run it with Brady. But they still have it there, and the only difference is maybe they have like the kind of like you know where you see the you see how like they run play action one direction, and then the fullback or Julian Edelman comes across the formation and catches the ball on the flat. That'll be the same thing. They used to do it with Brady. The only difference is now when Cam fakes it, he'll roll out of the pocket. So hey, you can hit the fullback, you can hit Edelman on the cross, or you can keep it. I mean, the offense is not going to, like, guys are not going to go in and go, wait a second, Coach McDaniels, what's that you just put up there?
They had to know there, but they had to know all of this, but now there's going to be a focus on this. So what the receivers and the skill position players have to do is wipe away from their mind the majority of those plays that they knew were going to be Brady-centric and start, so that you still may have meetings where they say, like, you know, position rooms are going to have to be meeting and saying, guys, start looking instead of pages 1 through 19 in the playbook, start focusing on pages, like, 14 through 30.
No, they'll just add stuff in every day. I mean, that's what you do when you go, when you install, when you install in training camp or you install plays every day, you go, okay, here's what we're installing. We're running power runs. We're installing today, right? And then tomorrow we're installing bootlegs. And then the next day we're installing tosses. Like that's what you do as a play. And you come in, you go, okay, power runs. We're running this. The only difference is now they'll be installing the bootleg package.
Your offensive line, though, has to do a ton of work in the offseason to get ready to run the RPO, though, because that is, isn't that technically...
No, because they'll
isn't
say...
Isn't that more difficult for them to
they'll
know?
They'll say the RPO blocking scheme is similar to a play that we already have in their blocking scheme.
Right, it's the Shanahan style of like kind of like zone
runs.
Well,
no, I mean, whatever blocking scheme they decide to go with, if it's a man blocking scheme or a zone blocking scheme, say they have a specific play, they have a play that they already run. Let's call this play Ride 35. They have a specific play and a specific blocking scheme. And I know we're getting into the weeds here in the
we
football
are. Yeah,
terminology.
Keep out the Bellustrator and you'll break this down.
I don't mind some weeds in the early hours.
All
early.
I'm saying is what they'll do is they'll say, hey, we're running this RPO and we're going to use the same blocking scheme that we use for a run that we already had. So you know based on the front how the blocking scheme goes, whether it's a man, if this guy moves over, is it a zone blocking scheme? You already know that. So it's not like the offensive linemen are learning something they've never done before.
Okay.
Did Ken? You see Colin Cowherd? His claim is that they're going to have packages for Stidham, that Cam won't take every snap. They're going to bring Stidham in for different packages.
So like two quarterbacks?
Bizarre.
I don't think they'll go to two quarterbacks.
Stidham? What the hell would the Stidham package be for?
Number two is he's not going to get all the snaps. Jarrett Stidham is going to get a lot of snaps. Tom Brady wouldn't let his backup have snaps. Jarrett Stidham's got fans in that locker room, fans on that coaching staff. He's going to get some snaps.
How many teams in the NFL use two quarterbacks?
Saints.
Not really, because Taysom Hill is like a specific package guy every now and then. He's not really a two quarterback guy. Like Drew Brees is probably taking 98% of the snaps. And then Taysom Hill gets him a little nugget here, and it's a specific, you know, he's like a wildcat type of quarterback, Taysom Hill. So he's not really two quarterbacks. The way Cowherd made it sound like is you were going to see that old style of like college, like two quarterbacks.
Like Florida. Remember they had Chris Leak and they had Tim Tebow. Different packages for both. They had
the weird thing was they won a lot.
You could get away with it in college because you might have better at, but you can't get away with it in the pros. You can't have two
quarterbacks. It's gimmicky. It's
you got to go the Taysom Hill route where, hey, listen, we got to prepare for this guy to have a small package when when we're playing against him. You know, he might only get 5-6 snaps at quarterback, but here are the things that he's going to run off of that. It's going to be some type of RPO, be careful of a deep shot, or some type of move the pocket.
That the two quarterback thing makes no sense.
No.
Absolutely none. I heard maybe you could sell me on Sidham's the starter
and that, you know, Cam Newton has some goal line packages to start the year, but even that sounds silly. I think Cam Newton's going to win the job.
Yeah, that's about as maybe that's about as if
he's Stidham, a great goal line quarterback.
If Stidham was the starter, you might have a little package for Cam when you get inside the 5 yard line.
That sounds as overt and obvious as the, whenever Sony Michel comes into the game. Guess what they're doing? Running the ball.
But that's what teams would do. Teams would get hip to that. All right, Cam's in the game, like they probably do down in New Orleans. Taysom Hill's in the game. Expect this play, that play. They're not the whole Drew Brees playbook for Hill down in New Orleans. So it gets limited, and then defensively, teams will know about. That's why the two quarterback package never works.
We'll get all your reaction to the Cam Newton signing at 617-779-7937. Ken's buddy in Pittsburgh is ripping the Patriots. We'll hear that and dumbest of the day as well. This is the Greg Hill Show.
More of the Greg Hill Show.
Greg Hill Show.
Now on WEEI.
They are cheaters. They're addicted to it. They like it. They're cheaters. And they should be thrown out of this year's playoffs. They cheated. They broke the rules again for a third time that we know about. And now, for the third offense, they should not be able to play in the playoffs. They should be kicked out of the postseason. They really should be. If this was baseball, Bill Belichick wouldn't make the Hall of Fame. But baseball takes cheating very seriously. Football, not so much. This documentary the Patriots were allegedly doing with the employees, Do Your Job, would it surprise you if that was just an excuse to get access to opposing stadiums where you could surreptitiously film the sidelines as they did this past Sunday in Cleveland with the Cincinnati sideline? Because it certainly wouldn't surprise me. A documentary about what a scout does? Who the frig would watch that? Who cares about what the scout does?
That is Ken Laird's mentor, Mark Madden. Scout's hero.
Where's he
out
from?
Out in Pittsburgh.
Scout. Who cares
where's
what
he from?
Does.
Come on.
He's about as West
Mount
Pleasant,
Pleasant
as you
Pennsylvania, baby.
Listen.
That's where my ancestors are from.
There you go.
I would say this to him. He's probably not wrong. Right?
Oh, whoa.
I did not expect
wow.
this.
Wow.
Whoa.
Well, you would have to think, right?
Floor's yours, sir.
And I would say this. It's like I tell my kids, you know, you got to know better. You got to know better, right? Belichick, and I'm not saying Bill had anything to do with it, but anytime, once something happens and you become branded with a specific perception from people, mm-hmm. anytime you then get caught and anything that looks a little shady, you ain't getting the benefit of the doubt. And that's where the Patriots are. They are not getting the benefit of the doubt.
Okay, I'm with you 1,000%, but this is the one time where Belichick should, like, he was basically exonerated by the investigation, by what they said.
But the commissioner
the Washington Post.
The commissioner doesn't do enough.
But he's getting punished for something
But he's not penalizing him. The commissioner's not penalizing him because
he wants
to.
The
other owners want to see the Patriots penalized.
But the commissioner has to come out and say, listen, there's no evidence that shows. Now, it's not going to make. It probably won't make a whole hell of a lot of a difference. But the commissioner has to come out and say, we looked into this. There is not there is no evidence linking Bill Belichick or any coaches to this video guy and them using this video to get some type of advantage.
Competitive advantage. You're wearing the sponsor of the video series.
Right, but
so
the commissioner has to come out and say that.
It was like, so Bose, like they sold it off to Bose. Kraft Sports Productions, obviously, they're like one of the only teams that has like their own production company because they're always like Kraft's trying to
plug,
run like
plug,
this
plug
media
plug,
empire.
Plug,
oh, no, please
send the checks. Fitz's way.
I haven't
ahead.
Been paid
yep.
by them in months. And they overreached, and they overreached, and they screwed up. And then now the football operations get punished by the media operations within the team.
But
so there was overreach.
I'm sorry. I don't think it's
overreach.
That.
Overreach.
I don't think it's that innocent. I know people overthink it's
come
by
on.
Mondillo's
you can't
accident.
Believe. You
it's
can't
8 minutes of direct sideline shot.
Let me ask you this, Mutt.
It was used for something.
Do you believe, then, that Bill was aware that they were taping the sidelines?
I'm not sure I'd go that far.
Okay.
Do I think there was a plan in place when you were at a new coach and somebody new in the league you had their sideline yet where we're sort of... Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Make sure you get some Cincinnati sideline. We don't have Zach Taylor
but
stuff yet.
You ever watch one of these Do Your Job featurettes on Patriots.com? They are boring.
Yeah, but Mutt, who would be then telling this guy, hey, if you can get some sideline.
Ernie Adams.
All right, oh, so like they come back with the hard drive and they put it in the secret second drive, so, clone the footage, and then send it through.
So you
saw Tom Cruise come down from the ceiling and get that.
Mission Impossible.
Yeah, that was a good
so
scene.
So, okay.
And
so,
not a movie from the 70s.
Not a movie from the 70s.
That's a little 90s, bit more.
24 years since they made the first Mission Impossible.
We still know about
Not a good movie, by the way.
Fitzy would reference the original Mission Impossible.
I would, with Peter Graves.
Yes, from like the 60s.
That's right.
So... Here's what you're saying then, and I can understand it a little bit. So you're saying Belichick is not aware of it.
That no, not Ernie, directly. Not
Ernie
directly.
Adams goes, hey, if you can get a little extra sideline footage.
We have no Zach Taylor yet. We're in Cincinnati. Go there. Get some. Give us 7-8 okay. minutes. We can kind of put that together.
Maybe I agree with you, but this is where the commissioner has to come out. If it is Ernie Adams, the commissioner then has to come out and say, well, Bill Belichick wasn't aware of what was going on. And now I think a lot of people, it's going to be hard for people to believe that because they feel like Bill is aware of everything. The problem is the commissioner is a boob and he doesn't come out and then say it. So it's like it's the analogy. It's the poor guy who, you know, who's just spent 10 years in jail, been locked down, gets out. His buddy says, hey, man, can you take me to the convenience store? I need to, you know, pick up a bottle of Crooked Eye. So the guy's like, all right, and he's going to pick up a 40 ounce, have a few drinks. I'm sitting in the car. Next thing you know, boom, he goes in and then all of a sudden he gets a knock on the door and it's the police like, all right, where you're under arrest. We want to ask you about a convenience store robbery that you were part of. And he's like, what?
And does that guy then go back to prison?
That guy then, unless there's somebody who comes out and says, hey, this guy had nothing to do with it. He was an innocent bystander. He was not aware of
just
what was
going
on. Come on, Wiggy. The punishment is tougher the next time he gets caught. In this case, it's lighter.
It's only tougher if there's nobody there to defend and say he had nothing to do with it.
They will. We should say this. But the NFL has not released a statement yet. But the NFL only responded to Mike Reese. Maybe in their statement they will say, we don't think football operations had any idea what's going on.
But Ken's right. The punishment has already made it look like the football operations had something.
Oh, no doubt. Third round pick makes it look like
stiff penalty.
So as a Patriot, right, if you work for the team or you do anything for the team, you got to know better.
Right.
They don't know. They did not know better in that situation.
So what is it up to Belichick then to basically reach from, as if he already didn't have enough on his plate last season, to reach across football operations, go to the Kraft Sports Productions and say, guys, please, come on. I can't have anyone do anything like this because if something goes wrong, one bad piece of B-roll and I'm screwed. And now I'm going to lose a third round pick, Belichick's favorite round in the draft. It sucks.
The team should know that. The guys should know that.
Yeah,
that's why this is an organizational failure. They were doing it consistently, and so it was like, no big deal. We don't have Zach Taylor. We've crossed him off the
this
list.
This comes from whoever.
Zach Taylor.
Like this comes from
my coach.
This like comes from like whoever you said. Whoever said to Dave Mondillo, hey, get a little film on the sidelines. Like whoever said that to him. That's the person who should know better because we already have this black mark on us.
This is a piece you're filming on your advanced scout?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have this giant bullseye like, you know, basically we've stolen their kids.
Yeah, which is why the timing of this was perfect cuz this conversation we're having now would have been the conversation nationwide yesterday.
Yes,
Yep. Wiggy would have been all this unless they announced the Cam Newton and this at the same time.
You guys want to drop the Cam Newton news on Memorial Day? Like, nah, let's wait till Spygate.
Yeah, we're good. June 28th.
We're good. But you know what? Let's pump up Stidham in the interim. Get that piece to Howe.
Was Mark Madden the dumbest of the day? Or do you have a different dumbest?
No,
of the
different,
day?
Different.
Oh, good. Good.
It's time for...
Hey, moron.
What a dope.
Hey, idiot. Hey, dumbass.
The dumbest.
I mean, I'm not as dumb as you think I am.
No, you are dumb.
Of...
Dumb.
The...
Dumb. Dumb. Dumb.
Day.
I'm not dumb.
Dumbasses.
People are so dumb.
Now, Mutt, I don't know if you're still a Trump guy. You voted for him the last time. You've supported him on the
I have supported my, I
years.
Say, I call him my president. There's a lot to be decided between now and November, but I voted for him last time around, yep.
Now, do you watch the Kayleigh McEnany White House press secretary press conferences every day?
I see the highlights. I do not sit down and dig in. I see the highlights. There are highlights every day of this Kayleigh McEnany. McEnany. She destroys the
the liberal media
the
on a daily basis.
MSM, lamestream.
I missed yesterday. Did she give a good shot yesterday?
Well, Politico correspondent Ryan Leza had an interesting question for her in regards to Trump, and I think it qualifies for our dumbest of the day.
Does President Trump believe that it was a good thing that the South lost the Civil War? And then two, is he interested in following NASCAR's example and banning the Confederate flag at his own events?
Well, your first question is absolutely absurd. He's proud of the United States of America.
There you have it. Dumbest of the day material or a legit question?
No, a legit question. Is Donald Trump happy that the North won the Civil War? What?
I mean, really? Sometimes I wonder these days, but
yeah. That's about as bad as I've ever heard. However, he should have just asked the second question because it's a legitimate question. Banning the Confederate flag from your rallies and from all of your appearances, I think, is a legitimate question. Like, the Confederate flag has no place anywhere in the United States.
All it does is breed what you, if you look on any social media, all it does is then breed the racial divide that we are dealing with. I mean, people are getting killed. You know, we're going back to those days.
We're going backwards.
It seems like people are fighting and killing each other just because of the, you know, the color of their skin. And a lot of it has to start with, you know, the breeding of this Confederate flag waving.
It is no different. It is no different in my eyes than if you are at some sort of rally, campaigns, anything in Germany, and people just bring the old swastika out in the flag, and they're like, right. Oh, no, we love Germany. It's just that we prefer back in these times when things were different. Like, it's no different. It's offensive. It's segregating. It goes in the face of everything that we've been taught to understand. It ruins race relations. It has no place in this
all
country.
All it is doing is it's a fuel for a
divisive
race war that will come if you don't take care of business now.
It seems like they've turned into a rallying cry for people who want, you know, people that have a certain feeling about other people of color. Like, I feel like they're rallying to the point where Wiggy just yesterday,
or our heritage,
the Mississippi State Legislature passed a bill. They're taking their Confederate flag part off of the Mississippi State flag. The state flag is red, white, blue, but in the left corner, there's a mini Confederate flag.
Stars and bars.
They're taking that off there. A couple football coaches, Lane Kiffin, Mike Leach, went to speak to Mississippi Legislature to say, take this off, and they're going to. So, I mean, I don't know if Trump will do it.
He should.
It's not helping anyone by allowing these rallies.
And like I said, it's going to be a race war because it goes from, you know, Black Lives Matter to then All Lives Matter, then it's White Lives Matter, and then before you know it, you have one side over here, right, which we know is going to be a certain side of people based on the way they look. And on this other side, you have a certain side of people based on how they look. And you are going to then get to, if you watch anywhere, the violence is in, you're seeing violence everywhere. People are getting beat up because they're using the wrong words. We see Karens getting beat up. We see violence. And that's where we are headed. And I said this before, we are headed for a race war. I'm telling you. And if you don't nip it in the bud right now, we are going to be in a situation where that's what it's going to be. I'm telling you, when I say this, we are. Because I just look at it on social media and I'm like, I had seen one lady, she was waving a Confederate flag and there was Confederate flags there. And then she came out and apologized like 2 or 3 days later.
And then there was that video yesterday that I thought about sharing with the group, but then I realized like you'd have to basically beep the entire video.
The guy from upstate New York?
No, it was
in
like
the car screaming the N-word like a million times at somebody.
No, but there's always another gem to be found on the internet. How about the people that were driving their golf carts around and there were these folks that were holding the sign saying like that.
Trump retweeted.
Yeah,
is that the one you retweeted?
Yeah.
I didn't see it.
It was like a convoy of golf carts.
Yes.
And there was like some, I don't know if it was a rally or a protest or whatever.
Right.
You know, and it was just,
he retweeted that?
Yes.
Stop.
You know what's happening now? Now, like, if there's a protest for Black Lives Matter, what now you're starting to see are people are coming out and they're like anti-protesters who are saying you can't have a Black Lives Matter protest. You're not from this neighborhood. We saw the guy and his wife pull out an assault rifle, and she had a pistol out because
mm-hmm. it was private property, though, Wiggy. That was their yard.
I understand that, but
people didn't realize they're in the yard. Right.
I understand. That's
the new American Gothic,
online, they got turned into like they were trying to.
But I understand. Front yard. Like if you happen to stumble on my front lawn and you're protesting, like it's one thing if you stumble on my front lawn and you got mask on and you look like you're trying to rob my place, but you're holding signs and I gotta go get an assault rifle.
But you see, an AR-15 for the front lawn.
Right. Wiggy, you've seen what's happened in some of these protests, right? In New York, when they torched someone, that's funny. It was TikTok or one of those Snapchat videos where some guy set. Like an apartment complex on fire,
stupid.
Things are lit now. I think you have the right to protect your own home.
No, I
don't. You?
Last I checked.
You do, but you got to look at the situation. It's about that situation. Now, that the one, I believe it was, I want to say Michigan, but it could be wrong, with the wife and the husband.
Was in St. Louis.
St. Louis.
Yeah.
Did it look like a
threat? Best fans in baseball.
Did it look like a threatening protest for you to come out with an AR-15 and your wife's got a pistol, basically like, all right, maybe we screwed up here and we didn't realize this was private property, but we're just protesting. Versus, I understand when you like don't light things on fire. I know they burned the Wendy's down in Atlanta, or you talk about like that's stupid.
If people showed up on your front lawn and you didn't know who they were.
I'm a gun guy, and I wouldn't if they were holding signs saying Black Lives Matter, I wouldn't come out there with, or in my case, if they were holding signs that says White Lives Matter, I wouldn't come out with an AR-15. Basically,
what if they were all a bunch of fitsies talking about the movies from the 70s?
Oh, yeah. Then
what would you do then?
Right. I would have complete
shots fired.
See, you'd be out there. You'd be the meme.
Yeah,
we'd
have AR-15s. It's like, get them.
Uh-huh. We are way late. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll get to your phone calls at 617-779-7937 is your phone number. We also get to Tommy Kern, who I thought had a terrible, terrible take yesterday with Dale and Keefe. It's hour two. Greg Hill next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.